Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. And coming up on What's for Dinner, Sunday dinner, pancake recipes, the drink of the week, and my sweet tooth. All this is coming up. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, deli, bakery, and meat department with delivery and van service available. Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm Mindy Anderson. I'm your host. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook. And sometimes I cook real flops. And with me today, I have a special guest for What's for Dinner. My daughter, Evelyn. Welcome, Evelyn.
Hi.
Thanks for joining me today. And Evelyn loves to cook. She's learning to cook. And since we're talking about pancakes, I thought I would invite her along. And actually, she helped cook some other things this week, and it might be good to have a co-host to help talk about those recipes today. So thanks for joining me.
You're welcome.
Okay, so this week at our house, we had, lots of different things, but we had cheese ravioli with like a brown butter and some parsley, also some roasted beets. We also had an eggplant lasagna with, we didn't have the ricotta cheese in the lasagna though, so it was kind of more like an eggplant parmesan, but it had meat to it too, so kind of a mix of both. We also, made lots of bread, and then I also made another batch of kombucha, and this week it was blueberry lavender kombucha. Let's talk first about the ravioli. So, Evelyn, you know, we got a new pasta roller at our house.
Yeah.
And it's a vintage from, like, the 1950s. Mm-hmm. Nice little red one. And Evelyn and her friend helped me make ravioli this week. Actually, they did. They made most of it, really. And so I'm going to give you that recipe first for the dough, and then we can talk about making the ravioli. Right, Evelyn?
Yeah.
Okay. So first, you're going to need, for the dough, 2 cups of flour and 4 eggs. And for the filling, some ricotta cheese, like a pound of ricotta cheese, some grated nutmeg, some lemon zest, maybe about enough from a half of a lemon, some freshly grated Parmigiano Reggiano or other cheese. You could use Romano cheese too. An egg, plus you need another egg beaten with some water. And what do we use that for, Evelyn? The egg with water, remember?
We use that to rub it around the filling and on the dough.
Right, so that the dough, other piece of dough would stick to it, right? Also some salt and pepper. And so that's the filling. So first of all, just start by making the filling. You take a large bowl. You take all of the filling ingredients, the ricotta, the nutmeg, lemon, the cheese, and an egg, and you mix all that together, season with a little salt and pepper, and then set it aside. And then to make the ravioli dough, it's the same as we talked about. Maybe it was a couple weeks ago. Could have been last week. Can't remember. But we talked about this great dough. That's all you need for it. Just, you know, the 2 cups of flour and 4 eggs. If you want to cut that in half, you would do 1 cup of flour, 2 eggs. Basically, you need an egg for every half a cup of flour. And you just mound the flour on your work surface, or you can use a large, wide bowl. Put your eggs in the center, and then using your fork, you kind of whisk the eggs in slowly, and you start bringing more flour into the egg mixture. Finally, you can knead it by hand until all the ingredients are combined, and it's smooth and elastic, about 10 minutes worth of kneading. Or you can put it in your stand mixer, like your KitchenAid with a dough hook, and you can mix it all on medium speed until it's smooth and elastic. And that's about 5 minutes. Then you wrap the dough in plastic wrap, or you put it in a bowl and cover it with
a cloth.
Yeah, with a cloth, and rest it at room temperature for about 30 minutes. And then set up your pasta machine. You can roll this out by hand, but it's difficult to roll it out by hand. So I got my little machine out that I absolutely love, and roll it out so that it's about an eighth of an inch thick. And when you're putting the dough through it, you want it to be nice and dry. Make sure you have flour on it. And I'm cutting off pieces about the size of an egg, so I'm not putting too much dough through it. Because once you start lowering the rollers on your pasta machine to a smaller setting so it's thinner, that little bit of dough goes a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. So now we have our dough rolled out, and we've got a nice long narrow strip of dough. Evelyn, what do we do next?
Then we put the filling in. We scoop the filling in.
Uh-huh. And about how much do we use?
About
just a little teaspoonful, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Evelyn and her friend did this, and so you guys scoop the ricotta up in
a spoon.
In a spoon, and then how far apart?
About 2.5 inches.
Maybe less than that. I think more like an inch and a half apart.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And so once you got done with that, what's the next step?
Put a little bit on your fingers, and then you have to spread it around the filling and on the dough so the other piece will stick onto that piece.
That's right. You know what we could have done?
What?
That would have made it easier. We could have just taken a pastry brush and spread that egg mixture over the entire piece.
Oh, yeah.
And then put the filling on over the top. But
yeah.
Anyway, so once that was done, then what was the next step?
Then we put another piece over it, and then we around the filling, we just push down with our fingers so it'll the piece sticks to the lower piece, and then we kind of just push it down with our fingers around the filling.
Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that both pieces of dough. So we had the first piece, then we used the filling, and then I rolled out the second piece of dough, so it was the length of the first piece, and we carefully set that on top of our filling and our first piece of dough, and made sure that we had a nice seal. And then we had cutters, but the cutters just didn't really cut well, did it?
No, we kind of had to it didn't really work with the cutters, because when we tried to cut it with the cutters, it just didn't go through the dough all the way, and it just wasn't working.
Right. So we ended up just cutting with a knife, which was really super easy.
Yeah, it was really a lot super easier easy. Than using trying to use the cutters.
And then after we cut the ravioli, what do we do next?
Then we sprinkle, pinch our fingers, like, around the edges of the dough, so it, you know, kind of has that little, like, shape, and then we sprinkle some flour on it, and then put it on a sheet.
That's right.
Put it in the oven.
We didn't put it in the oven, but we stuck it on the oven just to let it sit there, and, make sure when you're making something like the ravioli, you have a little flour on your cookie sheet, too, because you don't want the ravioli to stick to your cookie sheet. Right?
Yeah.
And that was it. So delicious ravioli. And that's how it was so good.
It was so good.
It was very good. You know, and we actually made, it fed me and Rodney and Evelyn and her friend a whole meal. And the girls actually ate all of theirs and went back for seconds. And we had a few left over.
Yeah, we had like 4 or 5 left over.
Mm-hmm. So once we had the ravioli sitting there, we let our water boil. I add salt to the water. And how long does it take to cook fresh ravioli, Evelyn?
2 minutes.
That's right. Takes about 2 minutes. Doesn't take long. And once they start floating to the top, they're pretty much done. And then I had a pan sitting next to it, and I did a brown butter. So I just took some butter, like 6 tablespoons, and I had that in the pan on the stove, cast iron pan, and I let that butter turn a little bit brown, and then I just scooped up the ravioli with a slotted spoon into the brown butter and mixed it around, add a couple tablespoons of chopped fresh parsley, and you can use a couple squirts of some lemon, and there you have it. It's absolutely delicious. And for the girls, I just put on some cheese over the top, and it was absolutely delicious. But what I did that I really, really loved is I also added some cut-up portobello mushrooms to the brown butter. And then, so I kind of made a batch for the girls because they didn't want mushrooms in theirs. Some portobello mushroom, and then mixed the ravioli in that. So it was a brown butter portobello mushroom sauce. And then over the top, we sprinkled some roasted golden beets. These beets were so delicious. I got these beets at Farragut Farm was here at the market, and I finally decided to use them. I cut them up into nice bite-sized pieces, drizzled them with a little bit of olive oil and some salt and pepper, put them in the oven and roasted them. And I sprinkled those over the top of each bowl of ravioli and then the cheese and some salt and pepper, and it was so good. We'll make more pasta, won't we, Evelyn?
Yeah, with our little pasta maker, Sam.
Oh, you called it Sam?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sam the pasta maker. And basically, that's it. So we're going to try all sorts of other fillings. What other filling would you like to see in pasta? What are we going to try next? We could do a meat filling.
Yeah, like that kind of meat, like, that you put in, like, tacos, like the taco meat, or you could, like, put little bits of, like, other kind of meat in it. That would be good.
You could make a
dessert ravioli with like apricot or something inside it.
Mm, interesting.
Like apricot and something else. I don't know, but
maybe we could do a meat one. Of course, we could do pumpkin.
Oh, that would be good.
Super delicious pumpkin with butter sauce. So lots of different things you can fill ravioli with. It's endless, really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So we made that this weekend, and that was good. Another thing that we made this week, we made eggplant lasagna, and I got a couple really nice eggplant. They were only $2 each, and I got those downtown at the Trading Union. I just couldn't resist them. They were so beautiful, and just these nice, beautiful purple eggplant. And brought them home and sliced them up and sprinkled them with salt and let them sit for a little bit. And then I just dredged them in flour and fried them in a little bit of olive oil. And I just layered the eggplant with a meat sauce, a red meat sauce. I used a little bit of sweet Italian sausage and some onion. And I also used a can of chopped tomatoes. And then I had another can of chopped tomatoes that I just put through the blender and turned them into tomato sauce. And I just made a nice red sauce with that. And then I just layered that with some
cheese,
mozzarella cheese and some shredded Romano into like a nice layered dish. So it was kind of halfway lasagna without the noodles and the ricotta cheese. Or it could be like eggplant parmesan, but without, but with meat instead. So super delicious. And actually, that is usually better the next day. What was your take on that dish? You have a problem with the eggplant, probably.
Well, I really liked it. I just don't like eggplant. I don't know why. I just don't like eggplant. I don't like the taste of it.
It's one of those you either love or you hate. Maybe if I would have made the outside a little more crunchy of the eggplant, but still, with it being cooked with a sauce, it's bound to get a little mushy.
Yeah.
We'll have to try eggplant another way that maybe we can get you to like it. So we made that, and of course, we thought that was great. And also got back into making kombucha, thanks to Suzanne Ash for giving me a SCOBY, and I've been making some kombucha. Made another batch of that this weekend. I had one batch ready to go, and I just needed to flavor it. So I used some fresh blueberries, and they had a lot of juice. So I just poured the juice and put a few blueberries in the bottom of each jar, and then also a few sprigs of lavender in each jar, and then poured the fermented kombucha in there, and now it's just sitting on the counter for a couple more days, and then I'll put it in the fridge and it'll be ready. So the first taste test was delicious. I let it sit a little bit longer than the batch before, and it has a nice tangy carbonated flavor to it. Maybe you'll like this batch, Evelyn.
Yeah, I don't think I've really tried kombucha much, but I don't think I've ever tried it, actually. But it sounds good.
Yeah, I know you haven't been much of a kombucha drinker. But so I'm looking forward to that. And I bought a lavender plant, and I actually got it at Hammer Weekon. Bought a big lavender plant, and I've been using the lavender to cook with. So it's great. It's really been great. And then, of course, lots of bread. We made lots of bread this weekend, and Evelyn, actually, she was my little salesperson downtown, and she sold some bread, too. So we've been eating some good bread at home. Anything else, Evelyn, that you can think of that we had that we made homemade this weekend that we liked? Well, we're going to talk about pancakes in a little bit, but we had orange chicken, and we had, lots of other things over the week, but those were the memorable dishes.
Yeah.
So coming up next, we're going to talk about pancakes. And Evelyn's got some pancake stories she wants to tell. And we're going to talk about new ways of, or new ingredients in pancakes. Maybe you're just into the buttermilk, but maybe we can talk you into doing something else with pancakes. That's coming up on What's for Dinner. Thank you. for What's for Dinner comes from Inga's Galley, serving locally grown food and fresh-caught seafood, including sandwiches, curries, kebabs, and salads. Fresh king salmon and shrimp now on the menu, as well as a spicy pork sandwich on a ciabatta bun. Inga's Galley with heated outdoor seating downtown. Beer and wine available. 772-2090. And welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. With me today, special guest Evelyn Anderson.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in, Evelyn.
You're welcome.
This weekend we made a lot of pancakes at our house, and blueberry pancakes, just some plain pancakes, buttermilk pancakes, and today Evelyn actually was making pancakes, but after this weekend I had decided we're going to talk about pancakes, different flavors of pancakes, and of course we have, you know, we make Evil Skeevers at home, right? They're stuffed pancakes, which are great.
They're really good.
And then we make the little, we make thin pancakes where we roll filling up inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Evelyn, tell me about your pancake adventure this morning at the house. Evelyn's been cooking, and she loves to make pancakes, and she makes her friends pancakes when they come over, too.
Okay. Well, so this morning I was making pancakes for myself for breakfast. I made one blueberry, and that's the first pancake I had made before the incident. And then I made just a plain pancake, and then, it was all ready to flip, and I had gotten a spatula under it, but when I flipped it, I guess it was a little too thin, and then when I flipped it, it kind of broke in half, and when it landed, it became like this crumble kind of thingy. And it was like, it broke into like 10 pieces.
Was it, you think it was too thin? It had maybe too much liquid in it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Or do you think it just wasn't cooked enough on one side?
I think it just had too much liquid on it, in it.
Yeah. That can happen. So just a few pointers about making pancakes. When you are making pancakes, and you're making them from scratch, you want to have all your ingredients at room temperature. So if you're making buttermilk pancakes, which I love, you know, you don't want to take cold buttermilk and cold eggs with melted butter when you're mixing up your moist ingredients, because if you do that, the melted butter is just going to turn into solid, and you're going to just have these clumps of butter. And then you really can't heat the whole mixture up because it's got eggs in it. And so you need to make sure that your ingredients are at room temperature. And if they aren't at room temperature, you can always take your cold eggs and put them in just a bowl of warm water and warm them up a little bit. Of course, you don't want it to be boiling. You don't want the eggs to cook in the shell. And for just about a minute. And then, you know, you can always warm cold milk up in the microwave for a few seconds, or heat it on the stove for a second or two, and then you want to, of course, set your butter in the microwave just a little bit, if you want to get that nice and warm, if it's just come out of the fridge. So mix all your dry ingredients together in a big bowl, and then your wet ingredients in another bowl, and then you combine them, but don't overmix them. So, and then another important thing about making pancakes is to let your batter rest a little bit before you cook, because it will thicken up. And if you let it sit like 5 minutes while you're letting your griddle or your pan heat up, then it's just going to make a much nicer pancake. And the lumps will kind of smooth out a little bit. Do you want to say something, Evelyn?
Yeah. Can I say how I cook my pancakes?
Yes, you can.
So I get all my batter, and then I put some water in it, and I stir it up, then I let it sit for like 2 or 3 minutes. But then I don't wait all the way until my pan heats up. The way Dad taught me how to do it was you grab like a fork or something, or just like dip your finger in it, and then like let a drop on the pan, and then when you see that little drop you put on there, when you see it sizzle and stuff, then that's when I know my pancake's ready to be put on.
That's a great tip. And I was going to get to that too. You want to make sure it's at the right temperature. That's right. You can also use just like a little bit of water too. And if the water evaporates right away, the few drops that you put on evaporates and gets dry, then it's too hot. If it never sizzles, then it's not hot enough. And So Evelyn, what do you use in your pan when you're making pancakes for so it doesn't stick?
I think it's called canola oil, and it's in like this little spray can, and then I just spray some on it so it doesn't stick to it.
Yeah. You use cast iron?
Yeah.
Cast iron is great. And I do too. I like to use those the sprays because it just, yeah, your pancakes don't stick at all. You could also use butter or oil, whatever you want to use, whatever you use at your house. Okay. Well, let's get on to some recipes here. Evelyn, I found one that you're absolutely going to love, and we're going to get to it in just a minute. But, okay, so you probably have a recipe for pancakes that you love that is either like a buttermilk, or maybe it's plain milk, or maybe you just always use a mix. Even if you just use a mix, you can always add to it and liven up your pancakes a little bit. Nowadays, mixes, there's so many of them out there, buckwheat and all sorts of really good mixes. It doesn't have to just be, you know, crusties. But here is a good recipe for buckwheat pancakes, and there are some really good ones floating around town, people who make excellent buckwheat. If you don't have one, here's a good buckwheat pancake mix. You need a cup of buckwheat and then a teaspoon of baking powder, a teaspoon of baking soda, eighth of a teaspoon of salt, a cup of buttermilk, I love buttermilk, and one egg beaten. And you just mix all the dry ingredients together in a mixing bowl, and then you take your buttermilk and egg and mix them together, and then you pour that into a well in the center of your dry ingredients, and then you just stir until blended. It'll be a little bit lumpy, but let it sit for a few minutes. And then you spoon that onto your hot griddle, whether it's buttered or whether you use a spray or something. And, of course, when do you know to flip your pancake, Evelyn?
When, you know when to flip your pancake when there's bubbles all around it, little bubbles.
Yep, that's right, when there's bubbles. And then just get your spatula right underneath there and
flip it,
and hopefully it doesn't fall apart like today, right?
Yeah.
So here's a good pancake recipe that I've made. These are orange ricotta pancakes. I love using ricotta cheese in pancakes, or you know, if you normally put milk in your pancakes, then try buttermilk or try ricotta cheese or try yogurt. So try something else instead of just plain old milk, and you're going to be really happy with the results. This is this one is a little bit, you know, this one's from Epicurious. There's a little bit more involved in it. You need four extra large egg yolks separated, or eggs separated. You need 1 1/3 cup of ricotta cheese and 1 1/2 tablespoons of sugar. Also, 1 1/2 tablespoons of freshly grated orange zest. I love orange in pancakes. 1/2 cup of all-purpose flour, a pinch of salt, and some melted butter for the griddle and for brushing on the pancakes. So you combine the egg yolks, the ricotta cheese, the sugar, and the orange zest in a medium bowl. And then using a whisk or a mixer, on medium speed, you beat that for 2 minutes until it's nice and creamy. And then you sift the flour into the egg mixture, and then using a spatula, you just fold it into the egg mixture and make sure you don't overmix it. Then, in a bowl with a mixer set on high speed, you're going to beat the egg whites so that they're, with a pinch of salt, for about a minute until they hold their peaks so they're nice and stiff. And then you're going to whisk about 1/4 of that egg white into the ricotta mixture and then fold the remaining in. So just slowly adding those egg whites. And then you have your, well, an electric griddle on 400 is great. I have used an electric griddle. The nice thing about an electric griddle is they have a nice even heat, and that's key when making pancakes. I also have one of those cast iron griddles that you put over your two burners on your stove, and that works good. But on my new stove that I got last year, it has the griddle in the middle. You can change it out, either a grate or a griddle, and I love using that for pancakes. You can fit two big ones or three or four small ones. Those stove griddles, you really can't fit much on there, but still, it's a nice even heat because it's a real long burner underneath it. But if you have an electric griddle, go ahead and pull it out and use it because you get nice even heat and it makes great pancakes. Lightly butter the griddle, and using a ladle, you can put in about a quarter cup of batter for each pancake and cook the pancakes until a few bubbles form, and then flip them. And that's it. And, you know, but I like using a maple syrup with those, fresh maple syrup. And then if you take some pecans and you candy them, to candy pecans, you just need like a little butter in a pan. Throw your pecans in there. Mix them around. Add a little sugar. Let that sugar caramelize and melt, and it melts onto the pecans. And then you just mix it all up together and turn off the heat. Let it, put the pecans in a bowl, let them cool, and they'll have that crunchiness to them. And that, with the ricotta pancakes layered in between with some really good maple syrup, those are delicious pancakes. Really some of the best, everybody. How about zucchini bread pancakes, Evelyn? We were just talking about zucchini, right? She was talking about making zucchini bread. Mm-hmm. And here's a recipe for zucchini bread pancakes. You need 1 cup of whole wheat flour, 1 cup of all-purpose flour, 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, a couple teaspoons of baking soda, 1.5 teaspoons of cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of nutmeg, 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt, 2 cups of buttermilk, 2 eggs, lightly beaten, some vanilla, 1 cup of finely shredded zucchini, 1/2 cup of chopped pecans or walnuts, and butter or syrup. Doesn't it sound like we're making zucchini bread?
Yeah.
Did you want to say something?
And the way I like to make zucchini bread is I just put it in the microwave a little bit, and then I put some butter on it, and then it melts the butter on it, and it tastes really good.
It is good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think with the nutmeg and the cinnamon, and using buttermilk to bake with is so good. And I just love anything zucchini baked. But these are going to be great pancakes. And you just whisk together the flours and the brown sugar, baking powder, cinnamon, nutmeg, and salt, and then you pour in your buttermilk, egg, and vanilla mixture. You stir it all just until combined, and then stir in the zucchini and walnuts there at the end. Then, of course, heat your griddle or skillet, and butter or use a spray. Pour the batter onto the griddle. Make your pancakes with 1/4 cup of batter. And then serve with butter and syrup. Sounds delicious. It's like zucchini bread pancake. Yum. Very good. Should we make those, Evelyn, as soon as our zucchinis are big enough at home?
Yeah. Our zucchinis are just small now.
Yeah, they're not big. They're not super big like they have been in the past.
Yeah, one of our zucchinis, I named her Big Bertha, and she was so huge. It was like, yeah, but she was so big, and then I remember she was really big, and I remember I think we had to cut her in half, and then we had to give 1/2 to my grandma, and we kept 1/2 because we wouldn't be able to use the hole because it would get rotten.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't. Yeah, those were great zucchini plants. I'll have to check our notes on that and see what kind of zucchini plant that was. And there are some big zucchinis in town, though. A couple people have them.
Oh.
So here's a blueberry oatmeal yogurt pancake. Delicious. 1 2/3 cup of all-purpose flour, 2/3 cup of old-fashioned rolled oats, a couple tablespoons of sugar, 1 1/4 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon of baking soda. Also, you need salt. And this one calls for a cup of plain Greek yogurt and a cup of milk. 4 tablespoons of unsalted butter melted, a couple of eggs, a cup of blueberries, and some maple syrup. So, of course, it's easy. Once again, you combine your flour, oats, sugar, baking powder, soda, and salt. And then in another bowl, you whisk your yogurt, your milk, your butter, and your eggs. Pour the mixture over the dry ingredients and stir. And remember, don't stir too much.
We should make those sometime because we have most of those ingredients.
We do.
Because we have plain Greek yogurt and, yeah, they sound really good.
And that's the nice thing about pancakes is you generally have all those ingredients in your house, unless you're out of eggs. If you're out of eggs, it can be difficult. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
You're out of eggs, you know. But good thing we live in a small town. The grocery stores are not far away.
That kind of happened to us because we ran out of eggs when our chickens get too old and they stop laying eggs. We run out of chicken eggs.
We do. And we take it for granted sometimes, don't we? And when we don't have layers laying eggs, we have to run to the store to grab those eggs last minute.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We miss those eggs.
Yeah.
For people who are gluten-free, here's a quick recipe. This one is from JeanetteHealthyLiving.com. It's quinoa almond flour pancakes. And I can get you this recipe. Just email Mindy at kfsk.org if you'd like me to send you a copy of this. But you can find this on Jeanette's website, JeanetteHealthyLiving.com. 1 cup of cooked white quinoa, 1 cup of almond flour, 4 tablespoons of coconut oil, 2 eggs, 1/2 to 1 cup of almond milk, depending on the consistency, 4 teaspoons of baking powder, 2 tablespoons of maple syrup, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, and 1/2 teaspoon of salt. And with this recipe, it's so easy. You just put all of the ingredients in a blender and you blend it until smooth. And you lightly grease your skillet with some coconut oil. Pour the batter in, about 1/4 cup for each pancake, and then cook until browned on the bottom and flip and cook on the other side. So quinoa, almond flour, coconut oil. Sounds really good.
Yeah, it does.
Super healthy, huh, Evelyn?
Yeah, what's quinoa?
Oh, you know what quinoa is. We have it at home sometime. It's a seed that we cook, and sometimes I'll cook it instead of using rice or couscous.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, I know what that is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, Evelyn, are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
We're going to have to try this. Okay, so what's one spread that you like to put on your pancakes? Nutella?
Yeah.
Yeah, when we have it, right?
Yeah, when we have it.
Okay, this one is a Nutella stuffed pancake. And the cool thing about it is you don't have to try to spread the Nutella on the pancake, because what you do ahead of time is you take the Nutella and you line a baking tray with parchment paper, and you dollop like 2 tablespoons of Nutella onto the baking tray and spread it around into a disc, a little 2.5-inch disc. And then you put it on the tray, put the tray in the freezer and let it firm up. And then you make your pancakes. You take out one of the discs. Okay, so you take your discs out of the freezer, you make your pancake, you spread your pancake mixture down, you put one disc on top of the pancake mixture, and then you put more pancake mixture on top of the disc, so the Nutella is in the inside and it's going to start melting. And then you flip it, and there you have it.
Oh.
And it'll cook on the other side, and that Nutella is in the middle.
Oh, yummy. It's like It's like one of those maple bars with the cream in it. It's like that, but a pancake.
Yes.
That sounds so good.
So first you do the batter, then you put on the little Nutella disc, then you spoon more batter over the top and make sure that it's all sealed up, and then when it's ready, you flip. And there you have your Nutella stuffed pancakes, really good with maybe some whipping on top and some fresh strawberries.
We should make those sometime.
I think we're going to. Should we give one more?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got another fun one. This one is, of course, maple bacon pancakes. You can always crumble little pieces of bacon into your pancake mixture, and you've got bacon and pancakes together. I've also seen a strip of bacon on a griddle, and then you pour the pancake mixture over the bacon, and then you basically have like a pancake bacon pancake, or a bacon pancake with the bacon right in the middle. What do you think of that?
Sounds good.
A little maple syrup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have that with donuts too, where they crumple pieces of bacon on donuts, but.
Mm-hmm. So this one is a cinnamon roll pancake. I found this on Pinterest. It's all over Pinterest, and I just had to share it in case you haven't seen this yet. But basically, first you make a cinnamon filling, 4 tablespoons of unsalted butter, just melted. Don't boil it, just melt it. And 1/4 cup plus 2 tablespoons of light brown sugar, and then 1/2 tablespoon of ground cinnamon. So you have your cinnamon filling. Then you're making a cream cheese glaze. 4 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 2 ounces of cream cheese at room temperature, 3/4 cup of powdered sugar, and 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract. And that's your cream cheese glaze. Mix all that together. And then you need to make your pancakes. So it can be whatever pancake recipe you want. You can even use a mix if you want. But basically, you stir together your butter, brown sugar, cinnamon, and you put the scoop that filling into a quart size Ziploc bag and set it aside. You can also use like a pastry tip and put it in the pastry bag because you're going to pipe it on. And then you make your glaze, you heat your butter, and then you whip in the cream cheese and sift in the powdered sugar, add your vanilla extract, and then you have this nice glaze. Then you prepare your pancake batter, and here's what you do. You heat your skillet over medium heat and you spray it with cooking spray, or you can add the butter to it. Use an ice cream scoop or whatever kind of measuring cup you want. You add the batter to the pan, about 1/3 cup. And then you spread it into a nice circle. Then you snip the corner of your bag of cinnamon filling and you squeeze that filling onto, you know, into the open corner. And then when your pancake begins to form bubbles, you add the filling and you start at the center of the pancake and you squeeze the filling on top of the pancake batter and you swirl it onto the pancake all the way around till you get to the outside. And then you flip it. And that's how you get your cinnamon roll pancake. And then you, when it's done, you flip it back over and you swirl a little bit of that cream cheese glaze over the top.
Mm.
That's a cinnamon roll pancake.
Wow.
That would be fun to try.
Yeah.
Especially since you get to use, you know, you get to put on the glaze over the top.
Yeah.
Lemon poppy seed pancakes. Maple bacon pancakes, we talked about that, all delicious. So we're going to try some new pancake recipes. We're not just going to stick with the same old blueberry. Try something else.
Mm-hmm. I want to try the Nutella.
I think so.
Sounds really good.
And when friends come over, that's what they want too. They want Nutella because we usually have it, don't we?
Yeah, we usually have it, but lately we haven't had it because I don't know. Well, because, yeah, we just haven't had it lately.
Okay. Coming up next, we have the drink of the week here on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store on Singley Alley and open 7 days a week with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. It's time for the drink of the week. This is an adult beverage, but we can turn it into a beverage that doesn't have any alcohol in it pretty easily. But last night, I was in the kitchen cooking, and I just happened to check out a Facebook post. And there on the Facebook post, somebody had posted a picture of a bottle of gin. Just so happens to be the gin that I found that I absolutely love, which is the 50 Fathoms gin from Haynes, from the distillery there in Haynes and the Chilkoot Distillery. And they've won actually a couple different awards for this gin, so if you haven't tried it yet, you need to pick some up. But so anyway, I decided to pick some up yesterday, too, and I did, and I made a great gin and tonic with it. But today I'm giving you a recipe for a strawberry basil gin and tonic, and you can take out the gin, and you can just use ginger ale instead. Here's the recipe. Strawberry basil gin and tonic. 1 pint of fresh strawberries. You could use frozen if you have to, but this time of the year, pick up the fresh. Cold and sliced. And then you need a half a cup of sugar, granulated sugar. You can use raw sugar if you want to. A pinch of sea salt, a half a teaspoon of freshly ground pepper, a tablespoon of balsamic vinegar, handful of fresh basil, and 4 to 6 ounces of your favorite gin. And mine is 50 Fathoms. So in a medium bowl, you add the strawberries along with the sugar, a pinch of salt, the pepper, and the balsamic vinegar, and you let the strawberries sit for 10 to 15 minutes. You know, that sugar is just going to help release the juices. And then you put it all into a blender, and then you want it to become a puree. Then if you need to add a little more sugar, you can do that then. Then you run the mixture through a sieve and so that you just have a nice puree without all of the pulp and the seeds. And you should have about a half a cup. Then, to assemble it, you divide the basil leaves between glasses and you muddle the basil leaves with a muddler, or you can use the back of a wooden spoon. So you just put them in the bottom and then you use the back of the spoon or the muddler and just push down, down, down. And you're basically smashing the leaves. You fill the glass with ice cubes. You pour in 1 to 2 ounces of the gin, or you could use ginger ale, 2 to 3 tablespoons of strawberry mixture on, and then top with some tonic. And then give the mixture a good stir and garnish with basil flowers and a few turns of freshly ground pepper. Kids won't like the pepper, but what do you think?
Yeah.
Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm. But without the pepper.
Without the pepper.
Yeah, without the pepper.
And you're you love ginger ale, don't you? What is one of your favorite drinks?
I would say, well, yeah, one of mine is ginger ale. And then besides that, I would have to say they called their San Pellegrinos, and they're in like this can, and they're like this fruit juice, and then they have 3 flavors: lemon, orange, and blood orange. And blood orange is my favorite.
Yeah, those are delicious. Okay, Evelyn, that's the drink of the week. But now, before we end, sometimes I end with something sweet. And I thought it would be nice if Evelyn could give one of her favorite sweet tooth recipes. And what would that be?
Peaches and cream.
Ooh, how do you make it?
Well, I just, like, get a bowl or whatever, and then I put some of the the heavy whipping cream in it, the heavy cream, and then I just cut up a peach and then put that in with it.
Any sugar or anything, or is it good just like that?
It's good just like that.
Perfect. Yeah, the peaches have to be ripe, don't they?
Yeah.
Nice. Peaches and cream. I love it. Love it. I've done before, I've taken the peaches with a little bit of butter and heated them up in the on the skillet a little bit and then poured cream over it. But it's just good any old way, and kids can make it themselves pretty easily, can't they?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hard to cut the peaches sometimes, but...
Yeah, because of the pit in the middle.
Yeah.
But...
When they're super ripe, they don't come off the pit as much, but we figured out a way to cut them and go around the pit.
Yeah.
You just cut around the pit, don't you?
Mm-hmm. But I usually cut, a half off, a piece off of, the right side or whatever, and then from there I just keep cutting off of the pit. But I usually have my pieces medium sized. I don't like them super small, and I don't like them super big.
Okay. Before we finish today, we started watching a new show last night that we think is great. And Evelyn, she loves to cook. But what show are we watching that is just fun? Everyone should take a look at it, right?
We were watching Master Chef Junior.
And what's it about?
And it's about kids age 8 to 13 cooking in the Master Chef kitchen.
That's right. And so what kind of things were they having to cook?
There's a person that won the Mystery Box Challenge, and they got to choose from three different types of pastas. And they chose which one, and the other people would have to cook it. And they also had to cook something with aged products, I think it was 5 month old. Balsamic vinegar, and they had to cook with really aged stuff. And then they gave them tablets with their names on them, and they had and they could Skype their favorite elderly person, like their grandma or grandpa, and they could get recipes and tips from them about how to cook aged stuff and stuff.
Oh, okay. And so what kind of pasta did they have to cook?
I think they had to the pappardelle.
Oh, they did. That's right.
They had to cook the pappardelle.
What do you think? Do you think you could do that? Make pappardelle from scratch?
I don't think so. But there was...
I think you could.
There was... The oldest person there was 13. The youngest was 8 years old.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll have to check it out later and see who moves on to the next round.
I've watched an episode already.
Oh, okay.
2 episodes.
Don't tell me about it then. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening today to What's for Dinner. Thanks to Evelyn for being my co-host today. It's been great. I hope you'll join me again.
Yeah.
Next week on What's for Dinner, the kitchen of the Lost Trawl, a French ship coming to Petersburg. That's next weekend. Find out what they're cooking, what's on their menu. That's next week on What's for Dinner.